I think of Memorial Day, and I think of Joshua and what Joshua did after he led the children of Israel across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. He set up, literally, an unforgettable memorial. And in particular, what the song says and the sermon title, "We Will Remember." Well, Memorial Day originally started out as what was called Decoration Day. And it was a day to remember those who died in our nation's service. And now Waterloo, New York is officially declared as the birthplace of Memorial Day. Actually, by President Lyndon Johnson in May of 1966. However, it goes back even to the late days of the 19th and early days of the 20th century. Matter of fact, Memorial Day was also officially proclaimed, should we say, on May the 5th, 1868, by General John Logan, National Commander of the Grand Army of the Republic. In his general order, we wrote down number 11, and according to him, it was first celebrated on May the 30th, 1868. When there were flowers placed on the graves of the soldiers. But either way, folks, Memorial Day is a time where we remember. And we will remember. As we say, we will not forget. In December of 2000, the United States of America enacted a new law called the National Moment of Remembrance. It was a resolution passed in 2000 which says and asks that at 3 p.m. on Memorial Day, all Americans, and here I quote, to voluntarily and informally observe in their own way a moment of remembrance and respect, pausing from whatever they are doing for a moment of silence or listening to taps. So I want to encourage you. Get together with family, you have a holiday, or tomorrow, that it becomes a Memorial Day, as it says, but that at 3 o'clock, according to the laws of the United States of America, will you stop at 3 o'clock and just thank God for all those that have given their life that we can worship freely. You know, throughout the Scriptures, God has commanded that memorials be set up to remind the people of God's past actions and to help them look toward the future. You remember the rainbow was given to Noah as a reminder by God. The Passover was given to Israel to remind them of God's deliverance. The Sabbath, the first day of the week, is given as a reminder to rest and to worship. The Lord's Supper was given as a remembrance of how Jesus loved us and died for us and gave us new life. But in Joshua chapter 4, God commands Joshua, who is now Moses' successor, to set up a memorial. For all mortals, as all mortals God commanded, for him it was one he would never, ever forget. And God would make sure that you and I today never forget those stones of memorial. So we're going to look back. We're going to look back at Joshua as he stood there at the edge of the Jordan River with the high priest and with the children of Israel. And we'll see not only what made that memorial unforgettable, but what's God trying to teach us in that memorial for today? There are four things. They're in your outline, and I believe we'll all get the point without any question. Austin read our focus scripture this morning, but we're in chapter 4 of Joshua, beginning in verse 1. Let me read these verses, these first 7 verses to you. After the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua. And he says, choose 12 men from the people, one man for each tribe, and then command them. Take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan where the priests are standing. Carry them with you and set them down in the place where you spend the night. So Joshua commanded the 12 men he had selected from the Israelites, one man from each tribe, and he said to them, "Go across to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan, and each of you lift the stone onto your shoulder, one for each of the Israelite tribes, so that this will be a sign among you. And in the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean to you?' you should tell them this: the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan's waters were cut off. Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites." And folks, it had been 40 years of wandering in the wilderness of Judea. The children of Israel had been fed by the manna of God. He had sustained them. He had guided them through this time by the pillar of the cloud of the Shekinah glory of God. A fire. We call that a theophany. That's the appearance of God in nature, like the burning bush or the cloud. And the word says that Yahweh never took away His protection and guidance from the children of Israel. Want to check me out on that? It's in Exodus chapter 13. According to Deuteronomy 34, Moses now is dead. And God's appointed assistant to Moses was Joshua. And it would be Joshua, rather than Moses, whom God would permit to cross the Jordan River and lead God's people into the promised land. And here's how it happened. The people were instructed to follow the Ark of the Covenant that contained the Ark of God, that contained the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, that contained those tablets in particular. And matter of fact, the people were to follow behind the Ark of the Covenant. The scripture says, when the King James 2,000 cubits, Holman Christian Standard says about 1,000 yards. Why? You remember the ark. You remember the holiness of God, the sacredness and the holiness of the presence of God as illustrated by the Ark of the Covenant. And you remember then what would happen if anyone touched the ark, the holiness of God. God said, "You can't touch me and live. You can't, man cannot see me and live. Therefore, if you touch the ark, what happened? You died." So they followed back 1,000 yards, first of all, to make sure they didn't trip and fall and hit it. Secondly, out of respect for the incredible holiness of God. I still say we've forgotten that in the 21st century. We forget that God is a holy God. He is sovereign Lord, folks. He's still on His throne. And He's never going to leave it. Period. No matter what this world looks like, no matter what's going on right now in the 21st century, God is in control. Why? Because He is omnipotent. He is holy. Holy God. So the children of Israel followed 1,000 yards. Now they're about to walk through or find a way to cross the Jordan River. So once again, God was going to perform a mighty miracle. The children of Israel had already seen God literally part the waters of the Sea of Reeds of the Red Sea. And now they were going to have to cross the Jordan. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 4 and verse 13 that literally there were 40,000 men ready for war. They crossed first after the chief priest. That's about 29% of the male population alone. If you add to that the entire army, if you add to that the women and children, and if you add to that all the kin and everybody, you're looking at probably somewhere close to 3 or 4 million people. And when people read this story of Joshua, they think, well, he's got just a little band of group right here, and they're going to run right over the Jordan River. Folks, he's got over 3 million people behind him. In addition to 40,000 men that are ready in their war gear for battle. And remember, when they get into the promised land, one of the first battle they face is Jericho. So now the Bible says that God would do something absolutely incredible. He would stop the waters. As soon as the children of Israel Once the ark had gotten close to touch, the men stayed into the waist or the knee-deep water, and something would happen. God would once again part waters, in this case the Jordan River, and He stopped them. Now let me give you a picture of the Jordan River. I don't know, folks, when I think of a river, I think of a, you can see the other side. The Jordan River now, because of the rains, had overflown its banks. It was huge. And in addition to that, the water in that day and time was flowing so fast, you would get washed away. I saw some rescue attempts the other day by training on TV regarding in the Chattahoochee River. And I think they went to Whitewater a couple times and trained into that rushing water in terms of try or Six Flags, whatever, for firemen to train to get you out of the water if something like that were to happen. And then I thought of the Jordan River. That water, that the current of that water was so strong that you couldn't get in past just above your ankles. But the Bible says when those high priests who were taking and carrying the ark, couldn't touch it by the poles beside it, when they touched the water, God did something absolutely miraculous. He parted. He stopped the water. And the land became dry. Can you see those children of Israel? Whoa! That's the second time this has happened. Now, it wasn't the sea this time. It's a river. But it's either way. God parted. God stopped the waters. What's the first thing that I believe God wants you and me to know about memorials? It's very simple and very strong in what it says here. And it says simply this: remember the activity of God. You set up a memorial to remember the activity of God. Joshua told the people, God wants us to set up a memorial of the act of God, of what God did. Not what all those 40,000 troops were doing. Not because of all their great plans and their good blueprints of war and how they were going to get Jericho and all this. No. You are to remember what God did. Nobody else. I think 21st century Christians need to learn from that. Not remember what we do, but remember everything God does. And that's exactly why Joshua set up the memorial, and he's going to. God did exactly what He promised. The water stopped. The 40,000 men began to cross over. The priest stood on the dry ground in the middle of the raging Jordan River that had overflowed its banks. And now God commanded Joshua. He said, Joshua, you are to build a memorial of stones to the activity of God. God just allowed 3 million people to cross the river on dry ground, and the chief priests are now standing in the deep water of the Jordan River that is completely dry. What would you have thought? What if we were standing there? I don't mean to put me in the position of Joshua in any way, form, or fashion. But I'm telling you, folks, we had already in Egypt before 40 years earlier, we'd seen what happened when God took us out of Egypt and got us. And now we're seeing Him do it again. God taking care of His people. And what did the children of Israel do during those 40 years? They wandered in oblivion. Where was God? He never left them. He's with them in a pillar of fire. Sometimes you think God, and we think God's a zillion miles away. But if you get your mind and your heart focused on Jesus, you'll see that that pillar of fire of the protection of God has never, ever left you. I believe one day, if God ever allows you and I to look back on this day right now, in this sanctuary sitting right here, and we're looking at it from the perspective of heaven, I believe we're not going to see just all of us sitting in here, but I believe we're going to see the host of holy angels that God has brought into this house. And they're sitting beside you, they're on either side of you, they're all around you, and it's the presence of God in this place. Amen. Amen. We don't see that now. We're blind to that stuff. But we need to remember the activity of God. Here's the second thing. The second thing is, not only do we remember, let me just show you something on the map, though I get ahead of myself because I get excited about this stuff. Let me tell you. And let me just show you something. Here are the children of Israel. Here we're heading over in this whole part of the picture, the division of the promised land of Israel right here. And I'll come over to the other side to show you. I put this arrow on here so you could see it. Right here, it's stones at Gilgal. Here is the Jordan River, okay? Now, when they crossed right here, most likely, just north of the Dead Sea, where they developed and put those stones were right there somewhere in the middle of the Jordan River. Now, it's dry now, remember? Completely dry. And the children are now crossing, once again, taken. They had already been once before here in the Sea of Reeds in this area, but now we're at Gilgal. And that's exactly the location. The scripture is very specific here of how all this happened and how all this took place. I love it when it puts, when the scripture gets not only very specific, but tells you the terrain, what it was like. But if you look back in your history books and you look back at the Jordan River, do a study of the Jordan River when it's harvest season and the rains are coming through, and look how different that river looks then as opposed to, or later when it's not overflowing, as to when it's raging like it is. The only thing I can describe it, and that's in only a little way, is you've seen the raging river of the Chattahoochee. We've seen so many times how many, many multiple rescues have taken place of people in the Chattahoochee. Why? Because of the current. And especially after a heavy, heavy weeks of rain, and how that current is torrential. It will kill and it will destroy. So Joshua had obeyed. Joshua had put things specific. He had done exactly like God had said. The children of Israel knew that Joshua was Moses' successor. And now this man was taking those people right there across at Gilgal. Wow. Remember the activity of God. In verses 8 through 10, here's the second thing. Remember to worship God. Remember to worship God. Austin referred to that in his prayer. We sang a song about worship. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, for it's all about you and nothing about us. Worship is everything we have, we give to God. It's giving all the praise and worship back to God. It originates from the depths of our heart and flows through our inside up to God. It's at that moment we almost seem to be or feel or sense the Spirit of God so overwhelming in us that we are standing in the presence of Almighty God. And folks, we are. I'm telling you, one day, if God ever allows us to look back after it's all said and done, after the great white throne judgment, after heaven is, if we're all in heaven together and God, and He says, come here, I want to show you something. I want you to look back. You see right there in May of 2015 at Holly Springs, you see all those people in that sanctuary? He said, look again. And I am convinced, folks, when we look again, we do this. And we look back and we say, whoa. And not only that, right in the middle, you see the incredible presence of God. You folks, I believe that with every ounce of love and mind and heart I got in me, that God is here, period. And the angels of God is here. People say, Randy, I don't know if I believe in angels. Well, I do. Because the Bible teaches a belief in angels. And go to Billy Graham, his book called Angels. I'm going to be convinced. I think that'll, the research that man did alone biblically, but in his own heart, is absolutely incredible. Second thing, remember to worship God. Then Israel, in verse 8, the Israelites did just as God had commanded them. The 12 men took the stones from the middle of the Jordan, one for each of the Israelite tribes, just as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them to the camp and set them down. They gathered up the stones. Now these guys put them up on their shoulders. These are not little rocks. These are heavy things, but a man can carry them. Okay? A young man. Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan. See? In the middle, where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing. The stones are there to this day. Underwater, but they are there. The priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant continued standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was completed that the Lord had commanded Joshua to tell the people, in keeping with all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people hurried across. You know, I think about this. What would have been your emotion crossing the Jordan River on dry ground? Now, you had just been there. You know, here you are in this river, and now you're about to put that one little foot of yours to the left and look down, and you are not on wet ground. You're not on a raging torrential river right there. You're touching dry ground. Totally dry. I'm telling you. I'm always blown away by stuff like this, but when I hear it again. And then, you know, I always think, I wonder how they arrange that circle, or that, those stones, when they put them down. And then I went back. The word Gilgal, the name means circle. That's what it means. It means circle. And I often wonder, those 12 men grabbed those stones, I wonder if they didn't put them in a circle to symbolize what the power of God was unending, never stopping, always in complete control. What is that? It's worship. It's when you and I get together, and the Bible says, never forsake the assembly of yourselves together. Remember to worship God. Put all we are there. Set everything God is here and focus on Him. The devil will love to take your mind off of worship. Every one of you in this house, like me, you've got 10,000 things you're trying to remember, and what you've got to do this week, or what you've got to do when you get home, and all this and that, and whatever and everything. The devil himself will love to take your mind off of anything doing worship. You start worshiping God like you never have, and you watch how Satan bugs you to no ends. Well, how did the Lord get rid of Satan? Remember? Did it one way. Started quoting scripture. So get the book out. Start quoting scripture. Satan cannot stay with you at that point. That's why we have a focused scripture in this worship service. That's why every Sunday since I've been here for the last 8+ years, I've put a scripture specifically in the bulletin every week. Why? Because the scripture is the powerful word of God. Period. Remember to worship God. Yes, in here, as a corporate body. But some of the greatest worship experiences I have is in my car. You've heard me say that. I'll be coming to visit you, or I'll be going someplace else or whatever, and I've got the music on, and God and I are just having this conversation. You know? And I'm not oblivious to traffic, hopefully, God forbid. But people have blown at me or waved at me, and they think, you didn't say a word, you wouldn't wave, you didn't do anything. Chances are, me and God's having a good old time going down the road. You know, I'm telling you, folks, worshiping God. Go into your closet, wherever that closet is, and worship God. The third thing. All right, remember the activity of God. Remember to thank God. And then in verses 15 through 23, remember to do something else. Trust God. Remember to trust. Watch this. Verse 15 of chapter 4. Then the Lord told Joshua, command the chief priest to carry the Ark of the Testimony to come up from the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priest, come up from the Jordan. And when the priest carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant came up from the middle of the Jordan, and their feet, watch this, stepped out on solid ground, the waters of Jordan resumed their course, flowing all over the banks as before. It's unequivocal. You know, beyond a shadow of doubt, God, that wasn't just by chance. That didn't just happen. God did it. He made it very, very clear. It's verse 19. The people came up from Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. They camped at Gilgal on the eastern limits of Jericho. And then Joshua set up in Gilgal these 12 stones from the Jordan. And then he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your children ask what these stones mean, you should tell your children, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. The stones of a memorial set up. For the Lord God who dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up before us until we had crossed over. Joshua is God's appointed leader. commanded the priests to come up from the Jordan. And as soon as the soles of their feet of the priests touched on dry land, the waters returned and the river overflowed its banks. But the date is what I want you to see. Verse 19, the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern limits of Jericho. Have any of you in reading this verse ever said and thought, wonder what the 10th month, the 10th day of the first month is? Did you ever look that up in the commentary? Did you ever look that up in the concordance? That's good. He just put a date in there just for the sake of putting a date in there. Well, that date, the 10th month of the first month, is significant. In the Old Testament chronology, it is exactly 40 years earlier Israel had marched out of Egypt. To the day. We don't look at little dates like that. We forget, oh, that's very sweet, that's very nice. God is making sure the children of Israel realize that 40 years to the day, I got you out of the wilderness and brought you into the promised land. Remember to trust God. God said He'd do what He said He's going to do. He's not, oh, you got it, it's all in your hands now. You don't worry about it. God's got this church in His hands. There is no doubt. God has got this world in His hands. We've just got to learn to trust Him. Forgive me, I get excited about this, folks, because that's what the book says. Remember to trust, but don't forgive me. I don't want you nothing to forgive. I mean what I say. I like verse chapter 4, verse 21 through 23 in the New Living Translation. Listen to this. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future your children ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan in the dry ground. For the Lord God dried up the river before you, kept it dry until you were across, just as He did at the Red Sea when He dried it up, everything crossed over. God's people would always know the awesome strength would come as they obeyed God in every detail. Remember the activity of God. Remember to thank God. And remember to trust God. And here's the fourth one. The last one. Remember God's sovereignty. Verse 24. It's a scripture that Austin read. This is so all the people of the earth may know the Lord's hand is mighty, and so that you may always fear the Lord your God. The word fear there in the Hebrew is the word yare, Y-A-R-E. It's the way it's transliterated into English. When that word is used, it is not the same word as the Greek equivalent phobeo or fear. I mean, just shaking fear, though it is a different fear. Yare can mean scared to death, but in its context and what it means here is fear, but it is fear standing in the presence of Almighty God. It is a reverence, yes. But y'all, it's more than a reverence. It's more than a respect. It means terrified fear. Not that you're afraid of your life, but fear because you are standing in the presence of Holy God. Does that make sense? In trying to understand what that means. Our world's in a mess. You know that. I know that. The Bible says it's not going to get any better. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad tidings. The Bible says in those last days, as in the days of Noah, so it will be. You know, have we made it that far yet? I don't know. We're getting pretty close. And I'm one of those guys who really believe we're living on the edge of the edge of the edge of the return of Christ for His church called the rapture. There are no signs that point to the rapture. They point to the second coming of Christ, 7 years following the rapture. But folks, the rapture of the church could happen today, tomorrow, 10,000 years. I don't know. But the only thing it's going to take is the Father, who only knows, tapping His Son on the shoulder, saying, your bride, the church, is waiting on you. Go get Him. Go get her. And when that time comes and the Lord does that, there's nothing in heaven, hell, or this earth that will stop Jesus Christ from breaking the eastern sky and coming and removing His church from this earth. That's when you and I know how to fly. That's why the song was written, I'll fly away. We'll lose gravity, as J.K. said. We will learn how to fly. Two things I want to close with. Let me just show you something. And then I want to show you a brief video, and then I want us to sing and go. But out of these four things right now, I look back. Remember the activity of God. What is the greatest thing God has done for you and me in this house? He saved us. He saved us. On this Memorial Day, we ought to remember, and we must remember, those who have given their life in service, the armed service. Roy made a statement in his prayer, which I completely agree with. You know, war never ends. It may end as far as the end of the war, but the suffering of that war continues. And you know as well as I, our vets today who came back wounded, who lost limbs, who can't, it's hard to even function on this earth. Some have begun to, been able to overcome that. Some were so severe they couldn't. But I think of God's power and God's sovereignty is for all of us. We ought to remember what God did and the power whereby He sustains all of us, even our veterans, even those who serve now, and even those families. But folks, we need to remember God's in control. God's in control. Nothing gets past God. Amen? So remember God's sovereignty and the activity, remember the activity of God. And the activity of God, the greatest thing for me to remember God, and there's birth, there's life, there's everything God does for me and will continue to do, but the greatest thing by far God has given to me is His Son Jesus, and He took every sin I'd commit to a cross, and He said, I forgive you. And one day when I stand before Holy God, Jesus is already going to be interceding for me, and He's going to say, Lord, this is one of His kids. He's our child because He's covered by my blood from the top of His head to the bottom of the soles of His feet. I'm that memorial. You're that memorial. You know, the scriptures say, and I don't have time and didn't get into this, Joshua went back and built his own memorial. You know, he took those 12 stones out to Gilgal and they built, but then the Bible says God went back, Joshua went back to where it all happened, and he built his own memorial. I think he went back to remember God and what God had done for him. I think you and I must do the same. The second thing I think in terms of remembering is to thank God. I think we ought to live a life of everything we do as a thankful presence of God. But tomorrow, maybe at 3 o'clock, when we thank God for those who've served our country and we remember the families of those whose loved ones as a result of that, we can thank God once again for the freedom that you and I have. Don't ever forget to thank God. All of us, every one of us in this house can think of a time where we were sustained by God in the midst of a circumstance that maybe we thought we would never get out of. Mine was a car accident. I could go back farther than that. But in particular, a car accident. Thought I was dead. When you wake up in the hospital room, you have no clothes on you, and all you have is tubes and everything else, and you got a white sheet laying over you. As my son says, Dad, that's a clue. But I'm here today. You're going to walk with a limp the rest of your life. You'll have some problems as a result of that. I think you know by now. Don't walk with a limp. God took care of me. God takes care of you. The third thing, we got to trust God for the future. We don't know the future, folks. I wish I did. Well, No, I don't. Trust God for the future. That blind faith. We can't see it. We can't put it on paper. We can't write it in Excel. We can't plan it out. We can't figure it out. We just simply have to trust. And then finally, remember God's sovereignty. And I think of what I preached a few weeks ago in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to all, in the Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's about a 2-minute video I want you to watch that kind of puts everything in perspective here of a family standing by the river. Will you watch this? We'll pray right after that.
You know, there's a story about a guy named Joshua.
From the Bible?
Yeah, that's the one. God told him to build a memorial out of stones.
Yeah, and the stones were to be a reminder of this great thing that God had done.
So we know it's not the same thing, but we were wondering if we could remember your dad with you. Remember all the great things he's done.
Sure.
So this one here, this one's for remembering a great friend.
This is for his part, keeping my kids safe at night.
You got one?
Not yet.
Okay. This one's for him being the reason I even know anything at all about the Bible.
Yeah, me too, actually. This is for dragging us to church that first time.
This is for freedom to worship and his sacrifice for that.
This one's for not letting his best friends stay mad at each other.
You know, he loved the simple things. Things like people getting to speak their mind or having dreams and pursuing them. This is for defending those things.
You know, you don't have to do this if you don't want to.
I want to.
It's okay, buddy. Just take your time, then.
This one's not just for my dad, but for all the people like him who helped protect our country.
I'll skip to that one.
We come just to thank you for all you have done for us, for our salvation, your activity in our life, for the very fact that you are sovereign Lord. And so, Father, help us to follow you more, to trust you deeper, and to love you as possible as a human being could ever love. We will never forget those who served our country. We will never forget those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. So many white crosses and stars of David out there. And we will never forget an empty cross where our Savior paid the death penalty of every sin we'd ever commit and now resides at the right hand of the Father, interceding for all of us. We pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? The song is called Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated. That's our invitation hymn. God, take our life and let us be consecrated, dedicated, sold out to you. May that be our prayer as we close this service. Austin, join me down front if you will, and you come as God would need you right now.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Lord, I give my life.